kids. It's time to get some SML podcast all up in that.
But it ended up being a good trek overall, a large haul of stuff. Now it's got to find people to play this shit with me. That's always a challenge.
Well, you're the one with all the friends, so.
You'd be surprised, man. Facebook will lie to your face.
I mean, like, you have more than zero friends.
That is true.
Who can come over and hang out on any kind of day.
That is true.
What's up, everyone? This is the SML Podcast. I am your host, Joe. It is the early week episode, which means it's going to be a whole bunch of reviews, and we're going to kick things off welcoming back to the show. I don't even know why I say welcoming back. You're just, like, part of the show now, I think. Pernell Vaughn. Pernell, how are you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. How about yourself, sir?
Doing all right. You're, like, our second and a half member of the show. You're on so much.
It's really gotten interesting how that worked. I was like, I need you to cover a review. No problem. And this thing was like, want some reviews? Like, okay.
Do you want more reviews? Yeah, I ain't get shit to do.
Well, I'll knock them out. Yeah, let's get some down to business. I like talking shit.
You actually might be on the show more than CJ anymore.
Really?
It's getting close.
CJ's got to play catch up.
Because you've been coming on for Thursday shows. You're doing these early shows. CJ's not going to be on this episode at all.
Oh, well, there it is.
Is he a bitch?
Gotta step it up, man.
But you ain't a bitch.
No, I'm just usually sleepy. I'm just a tired man who busts his ass, get things done.
Why are you tired? What have you been up to?
I went to too many games over the weekend, which is a game convention in the PA area. I love how I say PA area, it's a small range, in the southeastern PA area.
It's so embarrassing that I live in Pennsylvania and I wasn't there.
Well, it could be a long trek. PA is a large state.
What is it? Philly?
It's pretty much Philadelphia area, yeah.
Probably 2.5 hours or something for me.
Yeah, see, I don't even live in Pennsylvania and it would have been closer to me, so I got to and from in 30 minutes. Sped, but that's how that worked.
Oh, you're going to jail.
Nah.
You're going to... Oh, so what'd you do at too many games? What'd you do?
The Rhythm and Pixel show had a panel there this year. So we went and did a presentation on Sunday, which was pretty much just a live recording of the podcast proper. We were prepared to name that tune with prizes, but we literally ran up the entire clock just doing the episode itself. So I was like, oh, well, what a relief. We actually did the whole episode like we wanted to. And Pernell still has his gift card, so he's going to spend those bad boys later. So, whatever. What are you going to do?
Oh, that's awesome.
And I played a bunch of games, as I tend to do. Bruised my fingers on U-Beat. And I regret nothing. So, there that goes. And it was just nice to be around a bunch of people that actually play video games, whereas usually most people I know don't. Yeah. So, or at least local people don't, so... It was kind of good. Overall, I appreciate it. And I look forward to going next year, hopefully.
Cool. One of these years I'm going to have to go, because it's been going on for a couple of years now, and every year I see it coming up, I'm like, I got to go this year. I got to go this year. I got to go this year. I forgot to go this year.
Well, you did say it's a 2.5 hour ride, too, so it's not like it's a hop, skip, and a jump or anything.
Yeah, it's closer than MAGFest, at least.
That's true. That is true.
And I haven't missed any of those.
I mean, I had a friend who went to freaking Connecticut. Came from Connecticut, and his ride is only an hour longer than yours. So, I mean, I just goes to show you the distance there. He had to cross over 2 states. You cross over none.
Yeah.
So, it was a good show. I think you'd like it if you showed up. It's like laid back video games. You know, the typical style nowadays, but it also maintains the original purpose of TMG. Which is a huge, dealer's room and swap meet environment, so.
Cool. Sounds good. Well, speaking of games, we should probably talk reviews, huh?
Yeah, we do, because it's Sunday night, we've been sitting in hot rooms all day, and the night's burning.
I have a cat attacking my microphone.
Yeah, that's dangerous business right there.
Because I have a feeling she's going to be a pain tonight. Ow, you little fucker. Ow. Why are you biting me, you little...
Because I heard what you said.
Little asshole.
Talking to the cat.
Bean, you're an asshole.
You're just making them angry.
I'm talking to you, you little dick.
I love her. She's adorable.
You see, let her hear that, then she'll calm down.
She's so cute. Like, she play bites, but doesn't recognize her strength. So she, like, really bites when she play bites. But then she licks you, like, I'm sorry.
I didn't mean to.
I didn't know it was that hard. But we're going to kick things off. I'm going to start things off with a game called Chess Ultra, developed and published by Ripstone Games. This released June 21st on PS4, PlayStation VR, Steam, Oculus, and Vive. June 23rd on Xbox One for $12.49. Introducing the most breathtaking chess game ever made, explore an array of intricately crafted environments and choose from a selection of iconic chess sets designed with both modern and traditional chess player in mind. Whether you're a beginner or a veteran of the great game, Chess Ultra has something to offer for players of all ages and ability. It's funny that this game started showing up. I know Reddit was getting a kick out of this because, like, the Steam sale's going on, and there's all these games that are, like, 50, 70, 80% off, and then this one just has a standard, like, launch discount of 10%. And everyone's just, look at the savings on chess, not realizing it's a new release. This isn't part of the sales.
It's just giving you a launch price discount, so just either accept it or keep you walking.
Yeah, so people are being dicks about this. The game itself, it's in the name. It's chess. It is. You can't, like, it's not explosive chess. There's no crazy twists and turns. It is just a gorgeous looking, incredibly in-depth chess game.
I was going to ask, where's the Ultra come in then, you think?
The visuals. Like, it is designed with 4K visuals in mind.
Oh, man.
Yeah, they, like, hyper-realistic designs and boards and pieces. It is an absolute treat to look at. Plus, if you're playing it on Steam or on PS4 with PSVR support, it has full VR capabilities. Even to the point where I guess the crazy point is that you could, like, play against death.
That could be interesting, actually.
Yeah, I was talking to the Ripstone people, and hopefully they're going to be on the show on one of our next episodes. They should be coming on. But I was asking, you know, in VR, why can't you just, like, flip the table or something? Like, that's what I would want to do.
Oh, that would be pretty cool, but then I could picture somebody getting real pissed if they were winning a match and the other person's like, flip! Virtual flip! I was like, oh, come on, you asshole!
Fuck this fucking game! The bullshit AI! But yeah, if you're a newbie at chess, it's got some nice in-depth tutorials to teach you how to play the game. If you've already played it, it has 10 different AI levels of difficulty. So if you think you're a chess grandmaster, this game will very clearly show you that you are not. they have online modes, and not just like playing one-on-one online, but like they have heavy Twitch integration where you can stream a game. And if you have enough people watching you, you can play against Twitch, where someone could suggest a move, and then other people could either vote with that move or suggest a different one.
Oh, so basically, you can basically kind of like how Twitch plays Pokemon work.
Yes, yeah, so it's basically you're playing against Twitch, and if you have a bunch of idiots in your Twitch chat, which, you know, we're, as the SMO podcast, we are, you know, experts in idiocy, you might have an easy game playing. But if you got some smart people hanging out in your chat room, you might get your ass kicked by the computer, which is pretty cool. It has, I'm trying to think how many, like 70 or 80, just a whole bunch of different puzzles where it'll set up a scenario that you have to solve and get your way out of or complete. I know Ripstone themselves are going to be holding tournaments that you could be a part of. There's a handful of different modes, like Classic. There's like Chess, Blitz, and Marathon. Just tons of content in the game, and it's all chess. It is just, if you love chess, and you're, you know, as someone who was on the chess team in middle school, where I'm dropping that nerd card on the table.
Nerd!
I was, man. I won a game in like a tournament with like the 4-move checkmate.
Mm-hmm.
And that was hilarious that someone fell for that. But, you know, we were in middle school, so I guess that's going to happen.
Yeah, good luck doing it now, but do you always have the story from the past? Like, I nailed it. I pulled it off. That guy thought he was a champion.
I'm not as good as I used to be, but I'll always have my memories. But if you were a fan of chess in any form, shape, form, or way whatsoever, for $12, $12.49, if you get it while it's still on sale, you could get it under $12. It's a must own. It is a beautiful game. There's tons of content in it. If you're on PlayStation, you always have the I believe they have pro support for 4K visuals, or they have the VR support. If you're on Steam, Lord knows that you have a powerful enough computer to make it run in 4K, I'm sure. Even on Xbox One, I believe they're talking about doing an Xbox One X patch later on this fall to give it 4K visuals. And people might joke around like, what do you need 4K visuals for in chess? Because well, this shit looks real.
I mean, my philosophy is just simply the fact that if you have the capability on your setup, you may as well have it on everything that can support it. It's not rocket science at that point.
And it's just like the tables and the layouts and like it's hardcore photorealistic, and it is beautiful. It is.
What's that like about that?
It's just something that. Go ahead.
There's also like themed boards and stuff too, right? So like you can actually adjust the visuals, and even the pieces can look different. So even though they're still obviously functioning in the same way, they just look different, and therefore there's more opportunity for the artwork to shine.
Yeah, they have a handful of different locations that you could play in, different themes for the pieces and the boards. They went all out with this, and it shows. So if you are a chess fan, this is a must-own game. If you're not a chess fan, try it. You might become one. It kind of has a stigma of being like the nerd game, but you know, if you're a fan of like strategy games, if you play strategy RPGs, you're basically already playing chess, but in a different form.
That is true. And also, if you just, I mean, chess, in all due honesty, is both a simple and complex game, which means that it is really easy to learn. It's just insanely hard to master. So
yes.
I'm sure the AI in that game can go low enough that if you're just like, you know, not too bright with that kind of strategizing, but you just want to play the game, I'm sure there's something in that game that will be just challenging enough for you. So.
Yeah, it is. It's definitely a game for, it's not just geared towards the chess hardcores. If you are brand new to the game, it has tutorials to teach you. The AI difficulty could ease you in. It is for everybody, and I think it is absolutely worth picking up. So
there it is.
Moving on, the next game that we could talk about is called Super Bomb Rush, developed and published by Curvature Systems. It released June 21st on Xbox One for $14.99, previously available on Steam for $9.99. Super Bomb Rush is a quick-fire, highly challenging, retro-inspired bomb defusal arcade smash. That's a lot of descriptors. You'll need nerves of steel and pixel-perfect timing to overcome an onslaught of twitchy insta-kill bombs, only to discover that the better you get, the more complex the bomb engine becomes. Pernell, what is Super Bomb Rush?
Super Bomb Rush is actually probably one of the easiest to review games I've ever done because of how, you know, just as far as like speed and quickness, but it's basically twitch gameplay. You start the game off on arcade mode, and it requests that you defuse 50 bombs with one life. So what it is you start out, and it'll be like a sequence of commands, up, down, left, or right. And once you've knocked out these sequence of commands, it'll say success, and it'll pass you another bomb, and it'll give you another sequence of commands, so on and so forth. And for every certain number of bombs you defuse, the difficulty will go up. And that alludes to more commands, different types of commands, like the ones I've come across were like inverted commands where it says right, which means you have to push left. There are moments where you have to push like the A button instead of a directional pad. They're called those action commands. There are some where they'll show you the command, but due to the way it's got the symbol, it's read out of order, and you have to hit it last in the combination. So there's a lot of different ways that they screw with you to try to make it harder to defuse the bombs. And to me, that is pretty fun. I was surprised by the fact that I kept going. I was like, I want to see if I can, how much further I can get. I want to see if I can get the 50 bombs. I never did. I think I had like 22 before I just couldn't do it for a bit. And there are challenges in the game, too, where it'll tell you to, you know, defuse X number of bomb types, or, you know, just defuse this many short fuse bombs, defuse this many, you know, this many hit, this many action commands, stuff like that, which unlocks additional challenges and whatnot. Though, admittedly, I have no clue how many challenges can possibly exist, because what I just described is literally the entire game. There is a co-op mode that exists that looks like it explains that there's a, it adds different arrow or different fused command combinations that might make it a little tougher, like maybe both players have to hit it at the same time, stuff like that. But the game really is what I described already. Like, it's just, here's a bomb, here's a sequence of commands, defuse this bad boy. And it's just more and more ways to do the same thing. You unlock fuse coins when you complete rounds of arcade, whether you succeed or fail. And when you get those, it allows you to unlock the additional modes, like the co-op mode, or like, I guess it was like one of the legendary bomb mode or something. And it's just, but it's just variations on the same game. So it's fun, don't get me wrong, it's just, there's not a ton to it. There's good music involved, I'll admit. Well, it depends on your taste in music, mind you, but there's some good music in there, too, that I enjoy listening to. It just boots up every time you start. I guess the best companion comparison I could think of is that one game that Chipsel did the soundtrack for. What was it called? It was on mobile phones, mainly. And you basically, like, dodge, like, you had to dodge, like, run out of a circle that is closing in on you. And I can't. Super Hexagon. There we go. Mm. That's the baby. That same style where, like, it's a new track that'll play. It can be over in a few seconds. Rewatch, rinse, repeat over and over again. And it has the same level of addiction, I think, too, that Super Hexagon had. But unfortunately, Super Hexagon also didn't cost $15.
True.
This game does. So it's hard for me to outright recommend it, because that cost to me, this game, I mean, I'm sure they probably... Oh, there's another thing I need to mention before I even go on to that. It might have just been me playing it, or maybe my controller had low battery. I don't know. But every once in a while, I felt like there was a delay in input. So the game would tell you to hit up, right, down, left, circle. I would hit up, down, left, right, circle, but it was almost like it missed the first command, like it wasn't ready to accept it, and then be like, oh, you were out of order because you missed the button, and it exploded. Hmm. But I started getting better with dealing with that later by trying to like delay my timing a bit. But I'm not sure if that was the way I was playing the game, if there's actually an issue the game itself has. But I wanted to just put that out there. But
maybe it was something where, like, there was a half a second or a second that you had to wait before inputting the commands. Because I've had that in games before where I went to start doing something and it was like, hold up, bitch, I'm not ready.
And if that's the case, that's still, at least for this game, that's not a good thing, because since you're under the gun for time, and some of the bombs will pop up, and it gives you just a few seconds to defuse it before it goes off, like even less than normal. You need every chance you get. You need every millisecond you can get. So that hopefully is not the case. But if it is, they need to look into that. But as far as this game goes, like, I have a hard time recommending it as a buy, because to me, for what the game offers, that cost is just too freaking high.
Yeah, I can understand that.
It's like a $5 game. And that's not a slight on the game as being a fun game to play. It's just literally, what am I putting my money into? What am I paying for? So I'm not sure if that would constitute as a deny it or a try it, but I guess it could be considered a deny it because I'm saying not to buy it at that cost. But it's fun for twitching, like a Twitch-style gameplay session. If you just want to push some control, some cross-pad buttons left and right until to do something. Though, one other thing worth mentioning to that, and I'm thinking maybe you'll agree with this, but I always like that style of gameplay with no bells and whistles to it, fit more into a larger scope of game. Like, let's say, I'm just throwing it out there, Final Fantasy VII, right, had the gold saucer. You know, if this was a thing in the gold saucer, was like, defuse bombs! Like, I'd be drunk on that thing. Like, well, I just spent 2 hours trying to fuse bombs to unlock the Buster Sword, mock beta, I don't know. And it was fun, you know, but it's hard to say. Like, I feel like at this point, it's a deny it unless the price goes down to like $5 or something.
What do you think of it being $10 on Steam? And it's actually $8 on sale right now.
All right, $8 as a sale game. If you like Twitchy, I'd say go ahead and get it while it's at $8, because I don't see it going to $5 for a while, if ever. So.
Yeah, I mean, I hate trying to, you know, critique prices, because I personally don't know what kind of development went into it or how they come to their prices. But I know if it's, you know, what you're saying, it does seem a bit shallow for $15. I'm kind of wondering if there's something else hidden in there that people might not see on the surface, or if there's just some other reason that the price is what it's at. It does look like a lot of fun, though.
Oh, it's a fun game. I was enjoying it. Like, I'm a big fan of Twitch gameplay. Like, I mean, like, I play music games where you got to hit arrows either to the beat or in a short amount of time. You know, I'm used to that. I like that kind of stuff. So it was a perfect fit for me. It was just, for free, I was fine with it, but at $15, I wouldn't have. So
now, I have a question. I'm looking at some of the screenshots, and some of them have, like, the one is nothing but red arrows, one is nothing but purple arrows, and then one has red, white, and purple arrows all together.
Yeah, and then some of those arrows, I couldn't even tell you what they do, but it goes back to what I was saying earlier. Just they introduce different rules to the arrows. Mm. Red arrows are all reverses. So if you see red, that means, if you see a red up, that means push down. There's a white one. And the white one refers to what I was referring to before, was like, if the arrow is white, you have to hit it last, regardless of where it shows up in the sequence. So, you, if it was the second arrow, you treat it as like it was the fifth arrow. So it's just meant to screw with you in the sense that you'd expect to input the arrows in order, but you have to stop. Just go, don't do that. You got to stop. 1, 3, 4, then 2. You know.
I hear you. So it, at least it is throwing wrenches into things. So it's not just hit buttons in order. It is actively fucking with you make sure you're thinking. So it sounds like there is at least some depth and challenge to it instead of just running through.
Oh yeah, that game is not easy, and I'm also going to wager that if you get through all 50, something else unlocks, probably like legend, because I noticed references something like legendary bomb mode or something. So It might be a mode where every bomb is a short fuse bomb for all I know, but it seems like there may be something hidden in this behind the scenes if you can clear all 50 out.
Maybe. You never know. Well, it's definitely something I'm going to keep an eye on if the price comes down. I think if it drops to $10, I might jump on it. But 15 does feel a little bit on the steep end. But again, I hate judging stuff like that because I don't know what went into it.
Then again, that is true. But that's the problem with something like that, though, is that I agree with you on that facet. Like, none of us do, but that's how you got to think of it as a consumer.
Yeah.
The consumer's not going to know that either. All the consumer's going to see is, here's a game. Here's what they're selling me. Here's the cost. I mean, you've seen it yourself multiple times when people talk about games on forums, games that you know had high production costs, but the game itself might take 3 hours to beat, and someone's like, I'm not paying $30 for that.
True.
You know, they just dismiss it. Like, regardless of how shiny and how clear it is that they put a lot of work into it, people will still dismiss it. So it's hard, but sometimes you still have to put that into account when you describe how you feel about a game.
Yeah.
But
I do want to point out, you were talking about the soundtrack. The music is produced by someone named Argo Fox. So if anyone is interested in checking out the musician based on Purnell and what he's been saying, again, the name is Argo Fox, one word.
Mm-hmm.
So
it may be worth it. There's some good tunes there.
Next game to talk about, we're going to do something fun. We have a brand new reviewer who wrote in a review for us.
Oh, what's his name?
Brand new. His name is Greg Middleton, and we got a European PS4 code, and the big issue is I live in America. So I couldn't really do anything, so I put out a call on Twitter. I'm like, hey, if anyone out there is a European PS4 owner and is interested in doing a review for the show, hit me up. A guy named Greg Middleton hit me up, and he's covering a game called I Want to Be Human, developed by Sinclair Strange, published by Rising Star Games, released June 20th on PS4 for $249, previously available on Steam. This confused me. $14.99 on Steam.
Whoa.
And 249. Yes.
What the heck kind of jump is that?
I'm wondering if it's something where it released at the price it is on Steam, and they heard feedback kind of like, well, $15 for Super Bomb Rush is a bit high, and they're like, yeah, that is kind of high. Let's drop it.
Well, so, I hope that's what it worked, because, I mean, especially if the game is fun, that $249 sounds real tingly.
It does. The description is, everyone knows the age-old love story, right? Boy meets girl, boy falls in love with girl, boy and girl suffer genetic manipulation by evil forces trying to take over the world, leaving the girl as a vampire and the boy as a hat. Wait, what? There's only one thing for it. Go on a bloodthirsty rampage of death and destruction and a quest to become human again.
Instead of a hat.
So, this already sounds insane. So, we are going to go to Greg's review. He writes in, this is a story about a boy who meets a vampire girl. The boy falls in love with the vampire girl in a time when romance is banned, and as punishment, they turn the boy into a hat. The couple must embark on a brutal, gory-filled revenge story. After the initial graphic novel, I delve straight into the action. The game has an excessive amount of blood and crude attitude. It plays as a side-scrolling action platformer, deep with only black, white, and red tones. As you go level through level, shotgun blasting enemies in the face, I felt satisfaction and amusement when my character would call the enemy a dildo head or tampon. I know I'm a sucker for silly, childish humor. Each level is time-based, so you can go back and try to better your level grade, which is something I don't normally do, but with this, I found myself replaying levels just to get that little bit better. The controls can be awkward, as moving and aiming is all done with the left stick, but after the first couple of levels, you get used to it. The soundtrack is great with a punk feel, and it blends with the tone of the gameplay extremely well. The highlight of the game has to be the boss battles, as I found these to be very challenging and entertaining, especially the towel jerk in the prison shower. Oh my...
Oh, geez.
I won't say any more about him, as it's a great fight. During playing and also on reflection, you could tell inspiration came from titles like Super Meat Boy and Ghosts and Goblins in terms of difficulty and level design, and had a Tim Burton-esque style. I think the price of admission at $249 or £199 British pounds, because he's British and all, this game is a fuck it, why not purchase. I mean, come on, a sandwich in the UK is more than the cost of this game, and it will last longer.
I could appreciate that.
So, thank you for the review, Greg. I actually did pick this one up myself because it's only $250 and put some time into it. The visual style is, like you said, just red, black, blood, white. It's insane. The controls were a bit weird to get used to. I was kind of hoping it would be a twin stick style game, just because I would constantly end up, instead of shooting to the left or the right, it would be like downright.
Oh yeah, because you're trying to hold the directions and walking, yeah. You can't quite hammer it out.
So the controls could be a little goofy to get used to. The soundtrack is amazing. It's all like punk metal. I looked it up. It's actually music featuring Jimmy Urine of Mindless Self Indulgence.
Oh wow, his next project after Lollipop Chainsaw.
So that's pretty cool. I could definitely agree. $250, this is, fuck it, why not? Just get it. It's
Jimmy Yorn tunes. Because, I mean, as much as I make jokes about the name, it has the music in, like, Lollipop that he did was really good. So,
yeah,
if that's sounds in that game, yay.
Yeah, it's a pretty batshit crazy game. I kind of hope that it comes to some other platforms as well, only being PS4 and PC. You know, I hate when games are exclusive to certain consoles. So, hopefully Rising Star will bring it to Switch or Xbox or, I don't know, Game Gear, something.
Game Gear. Why not?
Oh, man. Next game to talk about is called Outbreak, developed and published by Drop Dead Studios. It released June 16th on Xbox One for $4.99. Explore a nightmarish environment, scrounge for supplies, and battle the undead in Outbreak, an online co-op, offline survival horror game. The clock never stops as you attempt to manage an extremely limited inventory with a murderous horde on the hunt. Choose between acquiring additional weapons, healing items, or necessary tools for progression. You have only one life. Make it count. Pernell, what'd you think of Outbreak?
Outbreak is actually a pretty interesting little game. Best for $5. It is highly inspired by Resident Evil, if you couldn't tell already. There are two different styles of play that the game has. It has a survival mode, and it has an onslaught outbreak mode. And onslaught is the one I think I actually like the most, because what that is it pretty much plops you onto a map, and it casts you with just getting to the end of the environment and getting to the evac point. And what that means is you're stuck, they plop you somewhere down. Once you reach a certain point, or typically like zombies will start coming after you, or spiders, or whatever loadout of monsters they have on that map. And you have to constantly run around and like find guns, different types of guns, different ammo, melee weapons. Basically, typical, if you've played Resident Evil, you know what you can find in this game. And that's not a bad thing. Like I said, it's inspired by the game. So you can pretty much pick these things up, pick off the monsters while trying to reach and access the exit. Because if you don't pull it off, if you or one of your survivor buddies dies, it's over. Because sometimes they'll throw another companion in there with you, and you have to just escort them, both you and the escorted character and the scoreable character, out. So, and it's also cool because each character has different perks and traits. Again, like Resident Evil with this Chris and Jill's, and some of them will involve like limited inventory space, and we'll have additional inventory space. One guy will start out with a really powerful melee weapon, and he excels at melee combat. You know, there's a large variety. There's a total of about seven characters to choose from, and they all have different perks and stats. So it's pretty cool in that regard. And in survival mode, it's the same kind of game, I guess, but it's more of a storyline where he starts you off in like a basement of a hospital where people were like being quarantined at. And you and the other characters have to escape it together. So they'll like have different characters, like kind of like they'll just pop up on the map in different areas, and they'll like give you a bit of dialogue to be like, "Hey, I wonder where everybody is," or "Here's a book, itchy, tasty." You know, typical survival horror stuff. And it just tasks you with, you know, fulfilling the objectives that the game provides you with to move the story along. The game itself, I originally was like, this is stupid. I'm not enjoying this at all. But when I went from the survival mode to the onslaught mode, I saw a little bit of enjoyability to it. I don't like the fact that monsters are hard to knock back with guns. Like, they kind of just kind of push, push, push. And ammo was surprisingly scarce on the survival mode, though I guess that's kind of the point, isn't it? Survival mode. But as I played more of it, it kind of grew on me a little bit better, and actually was kind of enjoying the whole idea of how it works. I liked having the other character. I like kind of the simple aspect of just kind of trotting around, just like pulling your pistol out on guys and shoot at them. And I mainly encountered zombies and spiders at my time in the game, which, well, yeah, that's Resident Evil in a nutshell there, too. I'm sure there's other like super mutants that'll show up, too. But one thing about this game that I thought was interesting that Resident Evil does not have, you can drop a barricade, too. One of the buttons in the game will lay a barricade down on the ground, which you can shoot through / over, but the zombies can't break through, or they can't walk through it. They can break it down eventually, but if you're trying to kill them, you'll likely kill them before they break it down, which is a good thing. So it's a timed release, which means every time you use the barricade, there's a cooldown period. But even still, it's kind of nice, and it also sort of offsets the thing I was telling you before about being difficult to push monsters back. And I believe the melee goes through it, too. So if you want to use, like, a melee ice pick, put the barricade up, and whoosh, whoosh, whoosh. You know, that's what you got to do. That's what you got to do. But overall, at $5, I think it's a fun game. That'd be a little fun game to pick up and just dance around with for a bit. I enjoy what I played of it.
All right. Do you think this is a straight-up try it, or do you think it's cheap enough for a fuck it, why not?
I'd say go with a try it nonetheless. Like, if you miss tank controls, because this game gives you the option to use tank controls if you want, or you can just go typical left, right, up, down with walking. I mean, if you miss stuff like that, if you just kind of want to support, this is one of the games also where it's like, if you just want to support a guy who's trying to, or a studio that's trying to bring back some classic style of survival kill games in a way that suits them, give it a shot there too. I mean, it's it's worth it. It's worth it just to play around with it for a bit.
All right, sounds good.
I think it's a good game, though. Yeah, definitely so. Give it a shot. Maybe you yourself should give it a shot. You might find out something interesting about the game and yourself.
Maybe I will. Well, you can't tell me what to do, Purnell. You're not my dad.
But I can suggest persuasively.
That's true. You can.
I do what I do. Nah.
Oh, man. Well, Purnell, thank you so much for joining, as you usually do. I know you'll be back on again soon. Do you have anything to wrap this all up before we move on?
Nah, just give Rhythm and Pixels a listen coming in the next week or so. You can hear how the Too Many Games panel went. And you never know, you might just find yourself a fan of a new podcast.
Please don't leave my show for his.
I can juggle two shows. It's not a
problem. No, I'm talking to our listeners.
They can juggle two shows at once. It's not a problem.
Don't leave my show to go somewhere. Everybody leaves my show.
Man, it's two different styles of content anyway. It would make no sense to abandon one for the other.
Bogue left. Tim left. Ian left. Rez left. Pappy left. Chris left.
A lot of lefts. Are any rights?
I'm still here.
There you go. That's the spirit. Knock them reviews out, man.
Man. Anyway, thanks again, Purnell, and we're going to move on. Next game to talk about is called Nex Machina, developed and published by Housemarque, released June 20th on PS4 and Steam for $19.99. In the world of Nex Machina, humans have become so dependent on technology that they cannot avert their eyes from portable devices anymore. Around them, machines have reached consciousness and surpassed human intelligence tenfold. No reason to be servants now. Robots are clearly the superior life form. And to make their point, they start eradicating all human life. Very excited about this one, and I didn't have time to tackle it myself, so we brought in Tom Miller to cover this one. Tom, how are you doing?
Oh, I'm doing great. It's finally sunny here in the Pacific Northwest, and so, like, seasonal depression is cutting down dramatically, and, you know, life is good.
Now it's just back to standard depression.
Yeah, I know. It's like, well, you know, still, I have a bottle of sertraline at my desk still. So Nex Machina.
I want to get this out of the way right off the bat. I am incredibly jealous of you that you're covering this one. And given I'm the guy who gets these codes and, like, dictates who is doing what, I shouldn't have to be jealous that someone's reviewing a game, because I easily could have done it myself. I just didn't have the time, and it pains me. Like, this is probably only the second or third time that I've, you know, had someone else cover a game that I really wish I could have covered myself. So please tell me that this one is worth it.
Okay, so if you're a fan of twin stick shooters, just, like, don't, like, turn off this podcast, like, listen to it, but, like, maybe open another window in Steam or go to PS4 and just, like, buy it right this second. Because it's, like, it's one of the best twin stick shooters I've honestly ever played.
Okay, I'll be right back. It's one of those.
Yeah. So while he's away. I mean, it's just one of those games where everything works. It's beautiful to look at. It's made with super detailed voxel stuff, and the sound design is gorgeous. It's, like, it has, like, this sort of synthwave sound, almost like a cyberpunk-style soundtrack. Everything sounds great. It's one of those games where everything just moves so perfectly. I mean, from the moment you turn on the game, like, the moment you start, you're instantly thrown into the action. I actually only fully completed it once, but I'm going to definitely do it far more, because even just watching a little video of somebody else playing it,
I got it!
Yeah, way to go, Joe. So you can do that too. So anyway, it just kicks ass. I mean, there's not too much else to say about it. Eugene Jarvis, who was one of the they brought Eugene Jarvis on, who was the guy behind like Robotron and Smash TV and stuff. And I mean, you can tell because it has like, I don't know, there's just so much heart put into everything. And, you know, it's stuff like, you get different sub weapons through the game and they're all so fun to play with and they all do totally different things. You can get like a sword that you can slash at enemies with, or, there's like a power focus shot that just sends like the super powerful bolt through a crowd of enemies, like a piercing shot. And there are so many different ways to get a score. It's like, it's an arcade game, really. And I felt so bad when I continued while I was playing it, because I feel like you're not supposed to. But I wanted to beat it for the review, so
just
I
pretend
did anyway.
You put quarters in.
Yeah, exactly.
You just put them into, like, man, if it was an Xbox, I would say you just put them in the vents on the top, but PlayStation really doesn't have any kind of good, like, ventilation on it.
Yeah. I could jam it in the CD slot or something.
Yeah, there you go.
The optical jam.
It's a digital game. You don't need the CD slot for this one.
Yeah, no. So, anyway, I recommend it. If my 5 minutes of gushing about it didn't convince you, I actually liked it quite a bit.
That's very good to hear. I know they got a lot of... you mentioned Eugene Jarvis.
Sorry, I mispronounced his name.
I don't even know if I said it right. but I know he worked on the original Robotron, right?
Yeah.
So that's pretty cool to get him involved with this.
Yeah, and this is the same company who made Resogun as well, which I haven't actually played, but I was looking at it, and you know, he was also the maker of Defender, which that was kind of heavily influenced by, and it has the similar like voxel style.
Yeah, I know Housemarque has done tons of just fantastic games between Resogun, Dead Nation, Alienation, Super Stardust. They worked on those games. Outland on 360 and PS3. I gotta admit, I'm kind of another point where jealousy comes in, being an Xbox fan, the fact that Housemarque is pretty much just stuck with PlayStation since the PS4 came out is kind of a bummer for me.
Yeah, I'm just looking at their Wikipedia page, and yeah, it looks like they haven't really done anything since 2013 or 2012 even. Jeez.
Yeah, Angry Birds Trilogy.
Yeah,
on that's PS3 and 360. It's so weird that they did Angry Birds Trilogy.
Yeah.
But yeah, they do so many awesome games, and I really wish that they would get back into Xbox development. I know with stuff like Alienation, Resogun, they can't because they're published by Sony, but right. Nex Machina is published by them.
Yeah, it's
so that
self-published one.
They
so.
Could put that on Xbox, and maybe they will hear this, hear how disappointed I am that it's PlayStation only. And despite the fact that I literally just bought it while you were doing the review, I would gladly buy it a second time on Xbox, because I would love to see Housemarque get back into working on Xbox platforms.
Yeah, and just like, you know, having more of a reach with this really fun game would be great.
Indeed. So tell me more about the game. Tell me, like, how does it play? What's...
You know. Okay, so it is... it has a real, like, arcade... style going on with so there are five levels, actually I think six levels, because I looked at the achievements, but one of them I imagine you probably can't get unless you beat it in one credit or something, or play it on a higher difficulty than I was doing. Each one is about 10 minutes long, so it ends up being about an hour altogether. There are the bosses in it tend to be a little bit more shmuppy. They're like sort of bullet hell style, and they're great. It's just, actually one of them is a pain, but, the other ones are great. The one that's a pain is great too, but it just, you know,
not as great.
Actually probably the best boss fight in the game once you get it down, but I just like died repeatedly for about 5 minutes on it. So, you know, I don't know. They're so creative, and they're huge, and they all have a bunch of different patterns, and I don't know. They're all really well designed. And actually, it's cool to me because a lot of games like this kind of tend to be a little bit on the repetitive side. But they did a really good job with both, because of the different weapons you can get and the overall level design, really making it feel varied as you're going through it. So it never really gets, you know, you never feel like, I'm doing this again.
Yeah.
There's some really cool arena designs, too.
Nice. Yeah. After the campaign, is there any kind of additional modes or anything like that?
Yeah, there are a bunch of challenges that you can do. There's a score attack. You can play through it with like all the enemies and shots moving faster, which I haven't done yet. There are four different difficulties. Let me see. There's local co-op as well. So, I mean, there's a lot you can do. And there's a lot of replay. Even for it being a pretty short game, you can... I mean... I have a feeling it's one of those games that you can just pick up and play when you have an afternoon, just at any time, and have fun with it. So,
yeah, it seems like all their games are really good at coming back to later on and just, you know, you haven't played it in a while and you just get that itch to blaze through it and it's still awesome.
Yeah, that's like all the best arcade games, I think.
Very true. So for the people who might have been worried about hearing there's only five or six stages, at least there's a lot to keep you coming back to replay it.
Oh, totally. And, you know, there's a lot of, like, secret paths and a lot of stuff that doesn't really become apparent to you until you know the game pretty well. So, yeah, I mean, I can't wait to play through it again. I'm probably going to do that tonight, actually.
I might have to do it, too, as well. I have so much crap I got to do with the show, but...
Yeah,
I might have to play Nex Machina instead.
I have a lot of other responsibilities that I'd be shirking as well, so...
Well, fuck adulthood and responsibilities. Yeah. We got shit to play. So, for $20, what is your verdict on this one?
Oh, absolutely worth it.
Cool.
And right now it's also on sale on Steam, so if you get this... I don't know if it will be by the time this episode comes out, but...
No, let me pull it up and see what the date of the sales is. Just so we're not giving false information or anything.
That yeah, I don't want to mislead anybody, but it is totally worth $20 too. So,
it is 20% off until July 5th. So you got plenty of time.
Right on.
Good stuff. Good shit.
Yeah.
So, Tom, it is always a pleasure having you on covering stuff for us. I know you'll be back on again soon. Any final words to wrap that up?
Well, it's a really good game, so I recommend it. And, you know, if you're in my neck of the woods and it just got hot for the first time this year, take care of yourself and get plenty of water and stuff and have a good time.
Sounds good.
All right.
All right. And the final game to talk about tonight is called Runbo Pocket, developed and published by 13AM Games, released June 20th on the new Nintendo 3DS. For $14.99, there's also a physical version for $29.99 that includes all of the DLC. It is important to note that this is only for the new Nintendo 3DS. It will not work on a standard 3DS, 3DS XL, 2DS, only for the new, because Nintendo has to be confusing as shit. Runbo Pocket is a fast, frantic game where you can conquer over 145 levels in Adventure and the Bohemoth, or go head-to-head in Run Arena and King of the Hill Online. The world changes with each swipe of color, so you'll have to stay on your toes as platforms and obstacles disappear. We have our friend Chris Taylor covering this one, and welcome back to the show. How are you doing today?
Hey, first off, there apparently was a Rugrats sequel that came out in 2008 called All Grown Up, and it's about the kids, only they're actually like teenagers.
Yeah, my sister used to watch that.
What in the hell?
People have no idea what we were talking about before I started recording.
No, that's fine. They don't need to. All I can say is that's disturbing. That is disturbing. I'm doing fine. How are you doing?
I am doing decent enough.
Are you all grown up and loving it?
Oh, clearly. I'm loving the fact that my cat Bean has been attacking my microphone nonstop since I hit record.
I thought I heard a feline sound.
Little asshole. So yeah, Runbo Pocket. I was hoping to chime in with some of my impressions on the game, because after you were talking to me during the week of how much you were enjoying it, I actually ordered it off of Best Buy so I could get the physical version.
And, hooray!
Get the DLC with it. And FedEx fucked up and didn't get me my game on time.
Oh no.
So I can't join you at this one.
Ah, that's too bad. We could have played multiplayer.
Well, maybe we could do that this coming week, but for now, tell us, what is Runbow Pocket?
Runbow Pocket is an action platformer. So last time I talked about an action platformer, I want to say was the Mop, wasn't it? The cleaning robot?
Yes, Operation Cleanup.
Yes, that's the one. And I mentioned how it was like an automatic runner, and it was one of those things where everything is arranged in such a way that you have to like make these pixel-perfect jumps, and it's kind of cool in that sense. Well, Runbow is a little bit more like what I was originally expecting. That is to say that you have full control over the character, which you do. And, so the gimmick of it, it's obviously Runbow is a portmanteau of rainbow and run. So
look at you dropping the big words today.
The French words, ooh la la. So it's basically where you run and you get to the end of a level, like, and occasionally collect something. It's really occasional, but I've played, like, oh, I don't know, 24 levels so far. But, so the whole thing that's holding this game together is the fact that you are quite literally chasing the rainbow. That is to say, the background of the game swaps colors out on you, and these colors affect the gameplay. So do you remember when we were all kids and like they would sometimes have in like a cereal box or something as a prize, it'd be like a thing with like all kinds of jumbled images on it, and if you ran like a sheet of translucent red plastic that they would also include over the surface of it, it would make all the red disappear, and so you could see the hidden message underneath.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, you remember things like that? Okay, so that's this game takes that concept and applies it to platforming. So
if there's a blue platform and the background changes to blue, that platform disappears?
Yes, that platform is gone.
Gotcha.
Not only can you not see it, it is completely removed from existence. So basically it'll be like, you know, you're running on a yellow platform and then you see the yellow swath of color is coming, and so you have to make your jump and either like use the double jump and the little booster jump. It's a triple jump in this game, basically, which is that's like taking the cliche of the double jumping platformer even further and multiplying it times half of itself. And my cat is coming up and like cuddling me because I'm talking. He thinks I'm talking to him. Anyways,
we're both being attacked by cats this episode.
No, adulthood. Anyways, so
little fucker, ow! She bit me again.
This one's gonna start clawing me as soon as I pull my feet away. Anyways, okay, so that concept is explored in this game in ways that I literally was just like hands on head, like holy crap, what is this? They do everything from like okay, so it'll. Basically, they always move in a pattern, so you always have a consistent experience, which is great because all of these stages are timed, and you have to speedrun them in order to get the most rewards. You get a 1-medal, 2-medal, and 3-medal victory, and of course, that goes to unlocking things, which we'll get to. So while you're running around trying to make the best time, you're always going to have the same colors showing up in the same patterns in the same time. So let's say the level might be, the background might wash across the screen in a yellow, and then you get to see the blue slightly. Like, the blue will appear, pull back, and then swash across the screen. So you kind of have, like, that split-second warning, and that kind of tells you to do or die. And
it gives you a heads-up. It's not just, surprise, motherfucker!
Sometimes it doesn't. Sometimes it just moves rhythmically. And on one occasion, well, I guess a couple of occasions, like the actual stage was just made up of two different stripes that would just constantly move horizontally. And then one that was moving vertically as well. So it's like, really have to turn on your brain for this one. And that's what I've quite enjoyed about it. I think the first night I stayed up until like 3 a.m. just sitting there playing the endless, well, not the endless, but the Bohemoth part of the game, which takes the concept, like, okay, so you have two different modes. You have the adventure mode and you have Bohemoth. In adventure mode, you're basically on a grid of levels, and you're supposed to try and get to a certain spot. And, you know, every time you beat a level, it unlocks the other levels that are adjacent to it. So you kind of clear your own path towards the ending, or do all the levels, as far as I care. And then there's Bohemoth, which the storyline of the game is that you've been swallowed by a gigantic beast, and you have to fight your way out of its stomach. And so it's consecutive stages where you have, of course, infinite lives because it's a modern platformer. Like, modern challenge platformers are typically infinite lives. So you have the infinite chances, but you cannot save the game. That is to say, except for putting the DS into sleep mode, you cannot, like, leave the game or otherwise leave the stage that you're on without having to start completely over. So that's an almost diabolical, like, challenge, because you're kind of like, oh, I don't want to do any of that other stuff again, but I have to press on. And then 6 hours passes and you're still on the same level, and you've got... It doesn't give you... it gives you unlimited lives, but it also counts the amount of deaths, which I always find amusing. So I think I finally gave up after, like, 380-something deaths.
So it's... The game doesn't want you to quit, but it will mock how bad you are.
Oh, the game will mock. Every single death, it gives you a different little splash screen of text that essentially taunts you. Either saying simple things like, oh, I can't believe it, up till some, like, just really, really trolly things. Like, when you're playing through Bohemoth, sometimes if you die, it'll tell you, like, you know, we have easier levels. Then saying things like, you know, you don't actually have to do this. And, like, all this other stuff, so it's kind of amazing. I felt thoroughly trolled by the time I had died 380-something times. So, the cool thing is about it, though, is that even if you're really bad at the game, you can unlock quite a few things that make the game even better. Probably my favorite one is going to be the guest characters.
Yeah, so, I know you enjoyed the fact that you are constantly unlocking characters from other games. I think we were talking for over an hour on Facebook, and like every 5 minutes you're like, I found this guy from this game and this guy from this game. I'm like, how many fucking characters are in this game?
Well, I mean, judging by the amount of blocks, it looks like 68.
Jeez.
Yeah, and I've unlocked, I don't know, I've unlocked about 20 of them now, of course, with the DLC ones. But like a few of the indie games that have come out recently, let's see, I'm trying to think of what that one is called, the $5 little shooter thing. It's in my casual folder, let me look here. I have to have three different folders now for my 3DS downloads. Wow. Drancia Saga. So like Drancia Saga and like a couple of other games, I really like that the indie developers are starting to kind of pool together and like let each other use their characters.
Yeah.
And this game is probably the most thorough that I've seen so far. So you have your basic character, it's called a Hue. Because you have the storyline is basically your characters are all bright and colorful and stuff, and then there's this one white lady that wants to spoil it for everybody. Typical white people. And so you have, like, she does something and you have to, like, I don't know, rescue colors or something. I don't know. The story's not very important. You have your base characters, which are Hues, and you can unlock different costumes for them, which are, you can make them a ninja or a butler or a spaceman or woman. You know, things like that, which is cool. And then you get into it and you start to unlock, like, different characters. And one of the first ones I got, it actually the weird way that I got him too. But it was Max from Mutant Muds. And Mutant Muds is like my original favorite 3DS game as far as like exclusives go. And also the fact that Mutant Muds is like a really hard infinite lives platformer, like a super challenge platformer. I was really pleased to see him in a different game where, you know, he's doing the jumping and constantly dying thing again. There's something really familiar about killing the character from Mutant Muds. But, yeah, like, you unlock him just by going into a part of the menu, which is just the fun rating. And I don't know that it... I don't think it actually does anything. And that's possibly my favorite part about it. And, yeah, if you set the fun to maximum, then it unlocks Max.
I see what they did there.
You can set the fun to exhausting, X2 multiplier, ranked diamond 1, non-Euclidean, random, and then, of course, maximum, and lazy, kawaii, which also unlocks a character, fun enabled, or you can just say fun yes. So that's kind of one of those things. I feel like they just put it in there just to kind of, well, it's just fun. And, yeah, like, I found, like, I don't really want to go into all the characters that are unlocked, but let me just say...
What are some of the highlights, at least?
Well, yeah, I just didn't want to spoil it for anybody who might accidentally get one. Those are just the easy ones. But, let's see. I'm going to say Rusty from SteamWorld Dig is in there.
Nice.
And that's a pretty cool guy. And, of course, everybody's favorite, Shovel Knight.
Who gets around. I know he was in Yooka-Laylee as well.
Yeah, he gets around too. And one of the characters from Guacamelee.
Nice.
And actually one of the guest characters, she's already in the game. You don't actually have to unlock her, but Shantae is actually in the game too.
Nice.
Yeah, so that's really cool. And yeah, you just go through and you know, the game tells you how to unlock everybody. They just won't tell you who is what and what is who. But, yeah, the cool thing is if you try to, the best way to, like, I think experience the game is to actually go through the rewards and try and get them all, because you wind up doing things like, the multiplayer mode, which, you get rewarded with characters for playing multiplayer, either across the internet or with, a friend, should you have any. And, just all kinds of stuff like that. And then, That's of course, all of that is just going into the content that is available in the game that you just straight up purchased. You probably noticed there's some DLC in the game, too.
Indeed. What kind of stuff comes with the DLC? Because the DLC is... What's the cost of it?
Okay, so the game itself, I think, is what, $14.99?
I believe so, yes.
Okay, so... The DLC, you can either just purchase, like, little packages of, like, maybe a character and a costume, or a character and a level or something like that for, you know, $2, $3, maybe, like, $5 to unlock the extra game. But you can have everything for $12.99. Yeah, $6.99 to unlock Satura's Space Adventure, which is actually it's 36 more stages in the game, which the game already has an outrageous amount of stages. And then, yeah, you have your costumes and music, you know, different things like that. A steampunk pack, because you need steampunk, of course. So the cool thing about it is I really like the fact that the DLC is not required by any stretch. You can totally enjoy the game with over 100 levels and plenty of characters that you can unlock through sheer grit. And, you know, all that stuff. You can just do that with the base purchase of the game, but if you get the game, you get so many more levels, and you get a lot of costume changes, and you get, like, all this other stuff, so that kind of really makes it worth it. And that's always the best way to have DLC, is to strike that balance between will it make the game better, but will it make the game bad if I don't have it?
Yeah.
Like, probably the thing that initially turned me off DLC the most was, the game Raiden 4 for the Xbox 360? So, like, it's a vertical shooter series, like a longtime shooter series, the Raiden series. You know, people that played any arcades probably know plenty of those games. If you paid $40, like when it was new, for the 360 version, you got two ships. You had to purchase the rest through DLC out of, like, I think 10 ships.
Jesus.
Yeah, including all the ones that have the good weapons. So it's kind of like the you're paying $40 for a demo and then paying, like, some further $20 or $30 to get all the stuff that actually makes it a video game. So that's when I was like, this DLC thing is going to be super dangerous. But
and now you have shit like Street Fighter V that charges $4 per costume in Street Fighter. One single costume is $4.
Jeez. Next thing you know, they're going to be charging like full price for a costume, like a $40 costume or something. I don't know.
I wouldn't be shocked.
Yeah, so... That to me is not striking the balance. That's leaning it a little too much into we're just trying to gut you for cash. So Runbow for $14.99 is an excellent game, and I definitely recommend it. And Runbow at $14.99 plus $12.99 for the Valhue Entertainment Pack is what it's called, is also worth it, and I'd say worth the money. And plus, of course... What
about $29.99 for a physical version that also includes some 3DS themes?
No, that's not worth it. That extra couple of dollars, absolutely not. No, I'm just kidding.
The extra $2 for the themes.
I just paid $30 to buy Cave Story for the third time, and that was a free game back in the day. So Who am I to say what people should spend their money on? Absolutely, it's worth $29.
True, or you could always do it at Best Buy with the Gamer Club and save yourself some money.
Oh, yeah, okay. Except they might lose your package sometimes.
That's why you get it in-store if possible.
That's the risk-reward sort of thing.
Cave Story, I pre-ordered it in-store and got it release day.
Good.
With the bonus CD and the manual and all that fun stuff.
Sweet. I used to work for Best Buy, but I left before they started doing pre-orders, thank goodness. It always seems like a hassle. Ultimately what it comes down to is how tight are the controls, how, like, challenging is the game, and Runbow meets all of my standards for this type of game and exceeds them. So I think that apart from Mutant Muds, I haven't played a platformer this, like, precise and just, starting it over and over again, like playing a platformer for hours, whereas I would normally dump that time into an RPG. So I think that Runbow is one of the, like, most worth it platformers to get right now. And it's really showing how the 3DS is progressing in this genre. But of course, you do need the new 3DS. You can't use the old 3DS. It's probably because they needed more processor power to handle the multiplayer aspect.
Yeah. I wonder what happens if you try playing it in a standard system.
It probably wouldn't let you download it. And I don't know. I've never tried to put... there's only one that I know of. There's only one physical 3DS game that's out currently that's a new 3DS exclusive, and that's Xenoblade Chronicles.
Well, and now Runbow Pocket.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, this is one that I might, I don't know. I mean, I'm fine with my copy, but I would have bought a physical copy of this game for sure.
Cool. Especially, well, there's always the possibility that you can go out and still do that, and you could get the themes.
Yeah, there you go. And even more. Woo.
Well, Chris, thank you as always for covering these games for us. I know you'll be back on soon. We're putting you to work lately, which is good.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's really... Next thing I think I'm going to be reviewing, Rugrats All Grown Up and Loving It.
Always works. But we are going to end this episode. I'm going to play some songs from the Runbow soundtrack while I'm at it.
Yeah, it's music by Ricky Ricardo.
And you can get it on the 13amgames.bandcamp.com. The link will be in the description. So check that out. Check out the album. And Chris, do you have any final words to end the show?
Nah.
We'll be right back. We have so much shit to talk about.
So much.
I hear it every time.